Pick up the phone. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what House Speaker Mike Johnson is urging Americans to do on day 31 of the government shutdown.
Call the Senate Democrats and tell them to stop the nonsense. Echo the voices of the unions, of the airlines, of hardworking people everywhere, and tell them to stop doing this and open the government.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins also just said,
millions of Americans, as of tomorrow, will no longer receive SNAP, and potentially WIC or even a paycheck.
Referencing furloughed federal workers off the job and even those like air traffic controllers who have to keep working without pay, prompting some to call out sick and even work a second job, leading to thousands of flight delays with long ones this morning at airports in Austin, Texas and Nashville, Tennessee. As for WIC, the Women, Infant, Children's Nutrition Program, and SNAP food assistance, there's a legal attempt to keep funding all that.
Democratic attorneys general, governors suing the Trump administration over its decision not to tap emergency funds for SNAP. The judge in this case says Congress has put money in an emergency fund. It's hard for me to understand how this isn't an emergency when there's no money and a lot of people are needing their SNAP benefits.
That's Fox's Jackie Heinrich. President Trump on Truth Social called on Republicans in the Senate to enact the nuclear option and get rid of the filibuster that Democrats have used to block government funding. They say the shutdown is all Republicans' fault for refusing to add provisions to the bill to extend Obamacare subsidies that'll expire at year's end, warning a spike in the cost of health coverage is coming for millions of Americans. As Hurricane Melissa moves away from the last island on its path, Bermuda, there is a lot of devastation and need for help from Cuba to Jamaica, where Melissa hit as one of the most powerful storms ever.
Lots of houses been wrecked, lots of family been outside, nowhere to sleep, no food to eat. We'll just hope and pray for the best.
The hurricane is blamed for 50 deaths, at least 19 in Jamaica, 31 in flooding Melissa caused in Haiti. America's listening to Fox News.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report phishing, and update your software on all your devices. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes identity theft guaranteed or your money back. So stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK. Terms do apply.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Lucky Larry's Landscaping, Larry! Larry saved his business money with a quick commercial auto quote from Progressive. Does it help he's his own marketing manager, accountant, executive assistant, and never been late? Technically, yes, but saving really put him over the edge. So, Larry, give Larry a round of applause. Be your own, Larry. See if you could save in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Look for a high of 90 today, 61 overnight tonight, and that forecast won't change for the weekend. 90 and sunny on both Saturday and Sunday, 61 the nighttime lows through the weekend.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Danielle Burke-North. Day of the Dead celebrations are kicking off across our area this week. Locals and students participated in AWC's Katrina competition, highlighting this unique way of honoring our loved ones who have passed on. The competition included over 20 participants and a panel of 6 judges to pick the winners. For the competitors, it's the culmination of a lot of hard work. First place took home a $400 prize. Plus, it's Red Ribbon Week. The Yuma County Anti-Drug Coalition is partnering with the Yuma High School District, Border Patrol, Homeland Security, and the Yuma County Public Healthcare District to talk to students about how drugs are not the way to achieve their goals in life. They've been in 6 local schools sharing the nationwide message. The coalition is giving a poster regarding the national campaign and a red balloon signifying the red ribbon to over 50 schools in Yuma County. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey
Hey, good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Mortgage One in studio. Russ Clark in his amazing Halloween costume. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
So you're dressed up today as what? A
radio shy.
Radio board operator.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm
going. Got it.
I'm going with it.
I like it. You know what? It's nice to see you dressed up for the occasion.
Right.
So gorgeous morning out there. Traffic is intense. It's interesting.
That's what you said. I thought you were joking.
No, not
it's
joking.
It's Yuma. You said it took you 28 minutes to get here.
It took me 28 minutes to get from basically 24th Street and Avenue C straight up 24th Street.
Like 4 miles.
Yeah. it's interesting. You know, I told you, hey, I'm going to come in a little bit early today, and I'm just watching the clock tick, 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 tick by, and just don't pay attention. And, you know, anecdotally, I never leave during this time. You know I'm always at the office zero dark 30. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
are you.
Because it's quiet.
And it's interesting. I'm sure that's not out of the norm. I'm sure that everybody going to work right about now experiences that it took me four lights, you know, kind of counting the changes, four light changes on B and 24th Street.
I have four-wheel drive, so I get here fast.
You do not. You have two-wheel drive on an electric bike.
Well, electric bike helps a lot, too.
But, you know, again, it's that thing that I don't pay attention because I never drive at that time up 24th Street or even up 16th Street. And when you talk to other people who take their kids to school, it's the same thing. Oh, my gosh, traffic's awful. You know, it takes us so long to get anywhere during that window. And back to mortgage and credit and the economy, sometimes you just don't pay attention if you're not actually focused on that side of it. Now, government shutdown is going to kind of cause a couple of issues that people haven't paid attention to. If I said the word reserves to you, Russ, what does that mean to you as a consumer?
Oil reserves.
Okay. So, I mean, you're not wrong. There's a kind of reserve. In the mortgage industry, what do you think reserves means?
It's got to be cash of some kind.
You're 100% right. So reserves are the number of months that you can make your mortgage and your bill payments after closing. So let's say for easy, your mortgage payment is $1,000. And after closing, after your down payment, after your closing costs, you have $2,000 left in the bank.
Okay.
That's 2 months worth of reserves. You could make that house payment for 2 months with the cash you have on hand, right?
Okay.
So technically, if you get an approval on most of the computer systems, and you know, again, a computer is ones and zeros and triggering things. If you get the approval on an owner-occupied home, there is no requirement for reserves with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac or VA or FHA. So you could literally close and have 3 cents left at the end of the day. But you assume your first payment, well, but you assume
that. But
yeah, but you would assume your next payment on the mortgage isn't for at least 30 days, right?
Right.
So you assume there's going to be a couple of paychecks in between now and then. Well, what most people don't realize is with government shutdown, Fannie and Freddie are under government conservatorship, correct?
Yeah.
So they just posted a rule that says as of tomorrow, any closing must have 2 months reserves.
Oh, no.
So let's say you were pre-qualified, you, Russ, and we pre-qualified you 3 months ago, and you're going to do a conventional loan, and you've got a good plan, but you're just eking out your closing, and you don't really have much money left after closing, which is most people. As of tomorrow, so if it's not closed today, as of tomorrow, Fannie and Freddie say, oops, because of the government shutdown, you have to have 2 months worth of payments. Now, if you bought the average home in Yuma, which is $300,000, and you put 5% down, what would you expect that payment to be?
I don't know.
$7 per thousand.
Yeah.
So let's call it $2,100 a month. So Fannie and Freddie just said at the end of the day, starting tomorrow, if you don't have 2 months reserves, so on that average home, if you don't have an extra $4,200 in the bank,
that's going to blow up your deal, buddy.
Wow. So what have you not heard from anybody in the news about buying a home? You need to double check those things. And again, I do understand why Fannie and Freddie are saying that, because we don't know if you have a job or not. We don't know what that process is. Oh, wait, we do know if you have a job.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We have to know that you have a job. So wait a minute. How many people don't have their incomes because of the government shutdown? And my heart goes out to those people. But what percentage of the working population don't have a job right now?
I would guess it's much less than 5% or so.
I agree. And you just said, so 5% of the people don't have their income, but Fannie and Freddie just said 95% of the people that have a job that are still working at your auto shop, my mortgage company, Circle K.
It seems unreal, doesn't it?
It is interesting that they're putting that cushion in. Now, does that mean there's something else going on?
Yes.
Hmm.
And maybe they're looking at this thing lasting longer, and there's going to be ancillary businesses that aren't affected, aren't necessarily government direct. Because look at Yuma. Yuma's going to be heavily hit. We got track. The contractors,
yep.
But not only the military and Border Patrol and all that other stuff, which we're going to get hit harder than most. So mm-hmm. It's a good time to go to the restaurants. There's going to be fewer families fighting for that seat.
That's what we like about you. You know, ever the optimist, Russ. All right. So turn the prism just a little bit. So Fannie and Freddie are going to say as of tomorrow, which obviously nothing closes on a Saturday, but as of the end of October, it didn't matter. As of November 1, you've got to have 2 months reserves, period, end of story.
That's now, nuts.
Here's the next piece that people haven't figured out. The rule is if you have, like, let's say you're salaried at $5,000 a month. That's $60,000 a year,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so if you're salaried at that, what number would I use for your monthly income?
$60,000 a year.
Oh, you got good. You're good at math. Good job, Russ. Now, the new rule is if you've been affected by the government shutdown, you don't have that income for the last 30 days, right?
Right.
So if you had $60,000 salary, but you didn't get paid that $5,000, one would assume if the government turns back on, now we could use the same $5,000 a month, right?
Correct.
Okay. Nope. Fannie and Freddie's rule is you now, unless you have a letter from the employer that says all pay retroactively will be paid, not just you lost the month.
And some do, but some don't.
Some don't. So if you're not one of those employees that has a letter that says retroactively you're going to get all of that pay.
Your yearly income's 55.
No. Correct. And now I have to take that 55 and divide it by 12, and that's your new monthly income we use to qualify you. How many people push things? Because you and I talk about this all the time.
Up to the edge.
Right to the – I mean, you're that lemming hanging off the edge, you know? And just because Russ went one penny over his budget, I'm going one and a half – I'm going two shillings over.
Oh, man. Do you have a lot of people in the works right now that this is going to muddy the waters a little bit? Or?
Thankfully, no. And part of it is because – I kind of look at all of the issues that are coming down the pipe, and we've heard this for quite some time that this the second they did the government shutdown, this was always one of those behind the scenes talking points. But again, because we talk to people about let's budget, let's be conservative, let's talk about what you want to afford, not how much can you qualify for. Thankfully, most of our customers are pretty smart, and they're not going to that edge. However, there's a lot of people out there that you can see are. So now what happens if this goes beyond 30 days? Because this is the 30-day mark, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. If you're salaried, how often are you paid?
I don't know if it's twice a month now.
Could be twice a month.
Yeah.
Twice a month, could be 26 pay periods annually, could be every 2 weeks, could be once a week. But that means for that person who you and I just used that $5,000 a month bill, what if it goes two more days and they miss one more paycheck? Now it's not they shorted them $5,000. Now it could be $7,500 or six, whatever that number is. So missing one more pay period for that person who has to
throw their whole formulas off for qualification.
There you go. So all of a sudden, when does that formula stop for somebody who's salaried? At the reset of the year.
Yeah.
So for the next 2.5 months, really 2 months, but when I say 2.5, because you got to have a paycheck in January before you can show that you're on pace with your year-to-date income. So now you may have a bunch of people who are counting on this income to close for Thanksgiving. Hey, you know, we want to close and get our home for Thanksgiving and have family over or Christmas. You might have some people who are going to have some serious issues based on not getting their pay retroactive. That's number one. And number two, not having 2 months reserves. Russ, when is the worst time of the year for anybody saving money?
Christmas.
Oh, wait. So you're telling
me. December, yeah, now.
So we have to have two months reserves in the same time period that people spend more money than they need to because of gifting and Christmas.
Yep.
So
it's not a good plan, by the way.
So for anybody listening, again, you know, if you have friends, family, coworkers that are going through that home loan process, just, you know, ask them. Make sure they know what's going on. If they're not using us as their lender, make sure they double check with their lender, because again, these are not Derek's rules. These are not our Mortgage One rules. These are not Yuma, Arizona rules. These are not even Arizona rules. These are Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac rules for anybody who is closing after 5 p.m. today.
Don't you have a hotline that you can call them and tell them they're making a wrong decision and to ask the feds to rethink it?
You know, for as often as I've tried, I think my number's been blacklisted. I'm pretty sure mine got tagged the same as your YouTube accounts and your social media accounts.
I understand.
So now, there's a lot of good things that are out there, and there's a lot of things that we need to pay attention to. And we also, just like me driving up 24th Street today, I was shocked how long it took me to drive up here. But I know that's the norm for most people. I'm shocked that there's so many things out there that people in my industry just don't understand. And I know that's the norm. So, Russ, I'm going to ask you a consumer question, and everybody at home, play along with me. When you do a traditional mortgage, does the title pass from the former owner to you?
I would assume so, but I'm thinking because the way you asked it, I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Okay.
So just like if you buy a car, you bought the car from the dealership.
Yeah.
Whose name is the title in?
That's going to be mine.
Yours.
Yeah.
Is there a lien on the vehicle to the bank?
If you take a loan.
Okay. So if you take a loan, the bank now has a lien on your car. So if you don't make the payments, they take the car, called repossession.
Right.
But during the time that you're making the payments, who owns the car?
You.
Russ Clark.
Right.
Cool.
Right, the person on it.
Same thing with a house. You go buy a home, you take out a mortgage, and there's a deed of trust and a lien put on the house. So,
right.
Russ, you go buy the home, you finance with Mortgage One. Mortgage One, you and I sign a note, a deed of trust, and then there's a lien put on the home. So everybody in the world knows if you don't make the payments, it's taken back.
Yep.
So that's how 100% of the mortgage people in this industry understand the process. Do you know what a contract for deed is?
No.
Okay. Contract for deed is the exact same thing, but the exact opposite. It's a purchase contract where I could say, Russ, I'm going to go buy your home right now, and here's my contract for deed. I'm going to pay you $300,000 for your home. And you go, cool, let's sign a promissory note. We'll set up escrow. You make payments through the title companies, the same as it normally would be. But the contract says the deed, which is a contract for deed, contract says the deed does not pass to me until the final payment, until the last penny is paid. So it's still in your name until such time as I make the last payment. Still, I have the legal right to pay you off at any time. I could refinance the home and move it over to my name. But your security is the home didn't pass your name to my name until the contract is fulfilled and the last payment is made. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool. So had a gentleman call me.
It's kind of like a rent to own.
It is very similar to a lease option contract.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have signed everything that says
it will,
this is yours.
Will, yeah.
Now, could you go take that contract for deed and record it on the public record so it shows that this is actually something that is in force?
I don't know, but I would doubt it.
You can.
You can?
You can. No different than a mechanic's lien if you did $10,000 worth of work on somebody's house and put a new roof.
But it would still be not in your name, it'd be in the person's name.
Well, you're
but you have a contract.
But you're recording it on
the
public record.
You're recording the contract.
Right.
Okay.
So here's what, again, we saw these a lot 10, 15 years ago. Had a gentleman call me and say his son was running into some issues, and we kind of said, hey, happy to talk this through. Well, that's exactly what happened is 5 years ago, the son with the seller for sale by owner did a contract for deed. You know, most people aren't going to understand the difference, right?
Right.
So here's a contract for deed. Here's a valid purchase contract, a valid note, a valid down payment, but it was never recorded, which is not a problem. And payments have been made on time for the last 5 years through the title company. So you can even prove they're making payments. You can prove the utility bills are in their name. And they've been to several lenders in this town, not Yuma, but in the town that this gentleman lives in. And guess what every one of them said?
They're not going to deal with them?
Well, they're treating it like a purchase. Like, oh, well, it's a purchase. You have to go put money down. You'd need a down payment because you don't own the home. And that's not actually true. But it's that most of the mortgage people, because they've never seen it, treat it like the cashier at a fast food restaurant. They go, I don't know if we can do that. And then they go ask the shift manager, who has never seen that problem either. And they go wait for a supervisor somewhere else who may never have seen that. And so this poor guy's gotten the runaround for quite some time, even though it's a simple process.
Yeah, because they're used to having the deed transferred to the name of whoever's living there.
Right.
And just with an attachment on it, it's a lien. This is not that.
Right. So when
this is a contract that you're eventually going to get your name on the deed.
Right. So when this gentleman has gone to a couple of banks in this other city, they're saying, no, you need to buy it. You need to put money down. And he's like, but I already own it.
Well, he has a contract to buy.
And when they go type on their fancy computers and pull up the property profile, it shows this other gentleman still owns it. And I'm sure most of the clerks are like, well, this guy's trying to scam me. He's going to try to steal this house. No, it's just a simple refinance. But you're missing three pieces.
What?
All this gentleman has to do is show all of the paperwork that he already gave me. I've got the purchase contract. I need to go to the title company and get a payment history and show that he's not missed any payments in the last 12, preferably 24 months, because you can't have a 30-day late. And I need to prove that he really lives there. How would I do that? Utility bills, like water bill, you know, electric bill.
Would it have helped if he had gone down and recorded it?
Well, that would be the first piece that a knucklehead would find. But again, it's not that difficult. I asked 5 minutes worth of questions and we got all the right information. Well,
the recorder will record pretty much anything you want to record.
Yeah. I can go down there and record a note that says, Russ Clark is the ugliest human being I've ever seen. Signed, Derek Eggerberg.
You're the one. I understand.
But, you know, and again, it's frustrating, but it's not because I appreciate this gentleman and his dad called and said, hey, Derek, you know, we actually hear you on the radio. Would you give us some advice on this? Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, what did this gentleman do? You know, thankfully, he's like, hey, can I pay you something? Can I pay you for a time? Can I buy your office lunch? No, thank you. I appreciate that.
But use me next time you buy a house.
Yeah, I don't need that. And the sad thing is that's kind of where we've gotten is a lot of people don't get good advice. And now we feel obligated that, oh, my gosh, instead of it's just friends helping friends and just giving some advice, oh, my gosh, I have to pay or there's something else. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, you have to pay for your professions. When you use me as a home loan, clearly we're going to get paid. Russ, if I take my car into you, clearly you're going to get paid.
Sure.
But if I said, hey, Russ, I got an issue. Can you give me your eyeball on this and tell me if this is safe or unsafe? I know you're going to go, hey, Derek, you know, half of your engine's hanging out the bottom. It's probably a little unsafe.
But people are nervous about that now because most companies don't give free anything, even if it's advice. Now, I understand lawyers never did, but they're liable.
Yeah.
Your business still does. Mine does. You know, but it's hard to get people to do it. I mean, I'll tell them, before you put any money on that car, bring it to the guys. Let them just take a good look at it and see if there's anything obviously not right. They almost never, never, never.
No, because the paint's shiny and it looks really
good.
Never.
And I say, look, we don't charge you. Just bring it over. Let us take that quick look, which we're happy to do. And somehow it doesn't make sense to them. Because any company would do that for you, but they're going to charge you an hour.
Yeah.
And that's $150 or something.
And it could be a good investment too, and people still don't do it.
It can. We do it, you know, just as a courtesy. We want people to not get taken advantage of. And of course, we'd like them to use us as for any mechanical needs that they need. But if you don't need anything, don't pay me.
Yeah. So going back to this story, you think of what this gentleman was told by these other lenders that you need to purchase the home. That means you now go get a new appraisal, which is fine. We're probably going to do that on a refinance.
Oh, really?
But let's just use this. If you've been living there for 4-5 years now and you put 10% down originally, your loan balance is fairly low compared to what the home is worth. Would you agree?
Oh, most likely.
So now let's pretend this, and just these are fake numbers. Let's pretend this gentleman owes $120,000 and the home is worth $200,000. If you treat it like a purchase and you go get an appraisal that shows the deal's worth $200,000 and the purchase contract, let's pretend the owner of who the bank thinks the owner is being truthful and says, yeah, I'll sell it to him for $120 because that's all that's really owed anymore.
Right.
Now every underwriter on the planet's going to question, why is this guy getting an $80,000 drop in price? There must be something nefarious going on
the
backside.
Nefarious thing is what they call a contract.
Yeah. So you're,
it's not a big deal.
You guys don't understand, but you're opening up every other Pandora's box by trying to tell this young guy, do it this way, when it's not that in the first place. You all are the idiots, not the customer. The son and the father know exactly what's going on, and every other professional in that city is telling them to do it the wrong way. And that's right. It's frustrating, but it's almost humorous to think, wow, you all passed all of the state licensing, and you all are the paid professionals, and you still don't get it.
Right.
Now, what does that tell you about the level of the testing and education?
And maybe they knew it at one time. Well, they passed the test, but probably they've been in the industry, and they've never come across it, and it's one of those things they just don't know how to handle it.
Do you think, and this is a trick question, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, FHA, USDA, all of the main five programs, do they do contract for deeds?
I doubt it.
No. By definition, the standard loan has to have a lien and a deed of trust. That's the foreclosure process. So anybody who does loans, if you do just regular loans, Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, USDA, you've never seen one.
Right.
Literally never seen one. Now, you talked about rent to own. There is a thing called lease purchase, lease option.
I use it for equipment.
And you can do the same thing on a home.
Right.
Now, if you don't understand what lease option is, that's a problem if you're a lender or a real estate agent. But if you do a lease option, here's the other part. If I said, here's another trick question. Let's pretend the typical rent for, let's pick a Sunset Mesa house. Typical rent is about $1,500, right?
All right.
Let's say you and I were going to do a lease option and you're the buyer, I'm the seller. And I said, great, I will let you rent this for $1,700 a month.
Okay.
And we'll agree to a price today. Pick a number, $250,000. Okay. So we're going to have this paid off in 5 years.
Okay.
Great. Now, in 5 years, you and I have already agreed the sales price is $250,000. That's the first thing from a buyer's perspective.
And that's in the contract.
You're locking in the sales price, which is great.
Right.
However, how much credit am I going to give you for that $1,700 that you're paying?
That's a great question.
Well,
it could be all of it. It could be a portion.
Here's the problem. Most people that negotiate it want all of it as a credit. What is the Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA requirement if you're refinancing a lease option because you're going to roll it into a new loan when you pay it off? Because I know you don't have $250,000 to pay it, right?
I have no idea.
Cool. So you cannot use more than the overage of the average rent. So when the appraiser goes out there and values the property, they're going to go, yeah, this property's average rent is $1,500. So I could give you credit for $200, but what does everybody screw up and write in the contract? We're going to get all of the rent as a credit.
Because that's what you're used to on a lease to rent. I mean, lease to own. Like, am I in lease to own? Whatever price I pay comes off the purchase price of that equipment.
Because we're all used to dollar buyout leases, right?
Right. You get a dollar buyout.
And that's not the way it works with the home. So if you did a lease option, you're only allowed to use that overage.
Then it sounds like a terrible deal.
Right. But most people don't realize that until they get into it. And then you come see a lender who most lenders don't know the rules. And so they go, oh, yeah, go do a lease option for a couple of years and then come back to me. And then everybody thinks they're getting X amount of dollars in credit. And then when they send it to the underwriter who then reviews it, the underwriter who actually reads the guidelines.
I'm surprised anybody uses it.
Well, you'd be surprised how many other standard contracts there are out there. You've got lots of for sale by owners and buyer sellers just passing things back and forth.
So even if you wrote the contract for $1,700 and the entire $1,700 goes off the purchase price, they'll tell you it's not legal and we can't accept that.
The mortgage lender who's going to refinance and give you credit, I can only use the credit toward of the overage. So now let's say you don't need the credit and you adjust the purchase price another way. Great. Then you guys rewrite the sales contract.
Oh, okay. In other words, they can say the sale price. They can adjust the sale price to whatever they want.
In theory, as long as there's equity in the property. But again, it's muddying the waters because half the lenders out there, and I would assume a portion of the real estate agents, don't understand what a lease option is.
Yeah.
And people get advice because their Uncle Vinny or Cousin, Earl, whomever, gave them this advice to, oh, do it this way. You can't use that. But it's back to, why did this dad and son have these issues in another state? Not because they didn't do it right, because the professionals didn't understand what the process was. So, you know, we got that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're just 2 weeks away from the Balloon Festival. So I think you have that commercial teed up. We're going to come back after the break. This is Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe we manage money for our clients differently from many other advisors. Our way works in close alignment with our clients' goals. Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit YIVWM.com. Find out why investors switch to us. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and an SEC registered investment advisor.
These are alive and they're bursting with color. The 2025 Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival is back November 14th through the 16th. And this year it's bigger, better, and higher than ever. We've moved to the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex to bring you more space, more fun, and more balloons than ever before. Enjoy epic sunrise launches, incredible food and craft vendors, and non-stop family fun all weekend long. Don't miss the dazzling desert balloon glow, plus a cutting-edge drone show and fireworks finale that will light up the Yuma night. Prepare to be amazed. It's the can't-miss event of the year. The sky's the limit. We'll see you there.
M560 KBLU. It is 8:32. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous Halloween Friday.
It's usually warm on Halloween sometimes.
It's weird. I've seen it that it's freezing and you don't want to go out, and I've seen it where it's super hot and you want to be in shorts and a t-shirt and forget those costumes. But it looks like a good one.
I've lived in parts of the country where we wore coats, heavy coats, and put our costumes on over them.
It's so funny for everybody listening. So you know how everybody, they say owners and dogs start to look like one another.
Okay. Dog looks like me.
Yeah. What were you just saying to your dog during the break?
It's the ugliest dog I know.
But you know, for everybody listening, what's so funny is Russ said that in the most loving voice to your dog. So your dog thinks you love it and adore it, and you literally said, "You're ugly, Pooch."
Well, yeah, you're the ugliest dog I know. And she just looks like, "Oh, thank you, thank you."
Yeah. Because it beats the alternative. So again, lots of stuff going on. We're 2 weeks away from the Balloon Festival. Again, it's going to be a great turnout. Got approximately 30 balloons, some special shapes. I know you just played the commercial. Uh-huh. Super, super excited that the videographer that we hired last year, you've seen all the videos and stuff that came out of that. We're starting to get some traction nationwide that you're seeing people seeing and liking the video, you know, thousands of views on the video. So if you have not seen those, go to the Caballeros de Yuma YouTube channel and watch some of the videos for both the Balloon Festival and the other events that are coming up.
Sure.
But for you as the community, click on those, share those with your friends, and start pushing those out there, because there's also a lot of people that don't realize that the entire event has been moved down to the PAC.
Right.
So the glow and the launches are all down at the pack. There is nothing down at West Wetlands. So if you're like a lot of people and you go screaming up just before the sun comes up to the West Wetlands, you're going to miss all the fun.
But you'll be able to see the balloons from a distance.
Well, yeah, but you're probably facing the wrong direction. So what time would the sunrise launches be on Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
A sunrise around 6:15 or something like that.
Well, you said the magic word, sunrise. So if you see the sun is up, that's called being late.
Yeah.
Don't be late.
Yeah.
Sunrise, first balloon launches Saturday, Sunday out at the pack. Then after the first balloon launches to the national anthem, all other pilots are allowed to inflate and launch at their leisure. What time?
Sunrise is 6:55.
Yeah. So you can sleep in. Lord knows you need the beauty sleep.
Man.
So does your dog, too.
Yeah.
But
there's no hope.
Get out there. Have a cup of coffee. You know, there's coffee. There's donuts. There's always breakfast burritos. I know there's a couple of service clubs that are out there, and that's one of their fundraisers. Come on out. Support the service organizations. Get a cup of coffee. Talk to the balloonists. And if you've never taken your kids or your grandkids out to this, Russ, what is it like when you're walking in between the balloons as they're firing the blowers and the burners?
Pretty magical for the kids. It's something they've never seen, and it's like Disneyland for them, particularly. And that makes it Disneyland for me, just watching the kids.
Yeah. In the morning, no admission. Come on out. Certainly you can bring canned food, perishable, you know, non-perishable items that we will, again, deliver to the service organizations. But come on out, walk around, talk to the balloonists, help. Sometimes
they enjoy it. I mean, they like the public from everyone I've seen. I haven't seen a balloonist that is a hermit and a social hermit.
No, I think that's one of the reasons they do it is it's a way to be out in the public.
They don't mind sharing all the details of what they do and how they do it.
Tether rides. Are you going to take your grandkids up in a tether ride?
No.
You're Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah.
Not going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but there's going to be tethered rides. There's going to be a concert Saturday in between. The glow, what all is happening after hours at the pack?
What do you mean with the glow?
Yeah.
You
describe
just mentioned it.
I know. What is a glow for those that don't know?
They bring the balloons in and they stage them close together, but not to take off. They're not leaving the ground, and they just fire up the burners after it gets dark and put those big envelopes in the air, and the envelopes glow. They just all glow, and you'll see a lot of them, and they put music to it. There'll be loud music being played, and it's kind of a neat evening, and it'll be cool weather. It'll be nice.
Yeah, cool weather.
And the kids just start running in circles. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Well, then you get them tired, and then you go tuck them into bed, and then you've got a nice evening to yourself.
The kids love it.
Glow, super fun, because as they're lighting those burners, the colors are just brilliant all across the area. Right. And then it goes stark dark. And then it's, bright again. And watch some of the videos that Ryan Morganegg, the videographer, put out. I mean, they're stunning. And then what's after that? Now you've got a drone show.
No.
Drone show. Because the beauty is adding that drone show. The fireworks could never start fast enough because you got to get the envelopes put away. Heaven forbid you have burning embers fall on the envelopes.
Yeah,
that's expensive.
That wouldn't be worth risking.
So now drone show runs for 15 minutes,
those
which was
great.
Super cool.
Yeah.
That was super cool. Did you see it last year?
No. I've seen others, but I haven't
seen
this
one. So you didn't see the cab man standing and waving
to
the
customer. I heard about it.
Russ, was it past your bedtime?
Yes,
it was dark.
It was past.
Okay. Drone show, then there's the fireworks. So again, it's a not a long evening, but it's a super eventful evening where the glow straight into the drone show, straight into the fireworks. Then you get to go home, get some shut eye, and come back on Sunday and do it all over again. Again, it's not a one day. It's you could go out and watch the media launch on Friday morning, and so there will be balloonists launching Friday morning. Not the full slate, but it's the media launch. So Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, all at what time, Russ?
Sunrise,
which
6:55.
So be out there by 6, walk around, talk to the balloonists, because if they're launching starting at right at 7, they've already started filling their envelopes. They've already lit the burners a few times and put the hot air into it.
There's a lot of work to get that thing out of the trailer, get it hooked all up, and then pull that envelope straight out and make sure it's all set. The ropes are set.
Those big balloons, the big special shapes, holy buckets, you can't imagine how heavy those things are. Remember, for a while there, You know, we had the one stagecoach come in. It took a dozen people to manhandle that envelope, the baskets with that in it, out of the customized trailer. Those are heavy. Those are not, you think, lighter than air doesn't mean there's no weight to it. It means it's lighter than air with the hot air.
When you're filled up. Yeah, it's going to be a lot to manhandle. All of them are. I mean, even the little ones are. I mean, they build them pretty stout. They're not going to break. The bottoms aren't going to. They're not going to break apart in the air.
And Jerry will be out there with his cloud hopper.
And he's Is that just a Barco lounger with
Yeah, that's the. Have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie Up?
Yeah.
That's the one that reminds me. It's literally a lawn chair strapped to the balloon. I know that's not really what it is. But
because he's a social hermit, he doesn't want to take friends. He goes by himself.
Well, you can go sit on his lap; it's fine.
<I ain't doing laughs>
But you know, you look at that and you think, okay, I'm in a wicker basket on a normal balloon. You feel safe because there's this big thing. Yeah. Sitting on the lawn chair is no different. But you think, man, I'm not sure I really want
Does
my
he have
legs
a seat belt on that lawn chair.
There is has to okay. be. You know, it's a full 5-point harness.
Okay.
But I don't know that I want my shoes dangling over just in case my shoe falls off or something like that, you know?
So did his wife refuse to go with him? So he just said, I'm getting a chair.
I don't know. You could call him on your cell phone and you ask.
I'll
so
ask him that.
We've got, I know you keep telling me we have more breaks and you're doing all this funny business to me. So we're going to take another break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the community with the financial insights and strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Get ready, Yuma. The skies are alive and they're bursting with color. The 2025 Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival is back November 14th through the 16th. And this year it's bigger, better, and higher than ever. We've moved to the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex to bring you more space, more fun, and more balloons than ever before. Enjoy epic sunrise launches, incredible food and craft vendors, and non-stop family fun all weekend long. Don't miss the dazzling desert balloon glow, plus a cutting-edge drone show and fireworks finale that will light up the Yuma night. Prepare to be amazed. It's the can't-miss event of the year. The sky's the limit. We'll see you there.
.843 on Halloween, and you know what? Russ is dancing to that right now. His Halloween costume has got him in the spirit.
Jumping around.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So, again, tons and tons and tons of stuff to talk about. And, you know, when you look at it, Russ, you've been working how many years in your adult life?
All of them.
Okay. Now,
since I was 14. So, gosh, maybe 54 years.
Okay. So, if you were to give your grandkids some advice in wealth building and stuff, what would you tell them?
To spend less than you make and put the extra away.
Okay. So, great number. Yeah. And you know, save 10% of your paycheck forever and go invest it somewhere. Don't save it in a Folgers coffee can. Don't go stuff it in a savings account. You want a little bit of liquid, but put it somewhere.
To put it in things that you enjoy, whatever you enjoy. if you enjoy collectibles or following Bitcoin or whatever it is, and you really want to get engaged, do it, because then you'll have fun with it. And the fun is watching it grow, watching it expand, versus it's just sitting there. I might as well buy a car. Right.
Okay, so tactically invest and just do it forever, but actually invest money in something that you're going to watch grow and play with it as it's growing.
Some people like collectible cars, and what they'll do is they'll buy a car they know is going to gain value and do those kind of things. There's people who have been very successful at that.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what it is. Just have a plan and follow it and do it short term or long term.
Long term. And art's done very well. For those that know it and understand it, see, I'm still waiting for that velvet painting of Elvis to make money, but I don't think it's going to.
Well, the problem is you bought the reproduction of the reproduction. And that's the problem.
Is that what it is?
I mean, you got the guy on the corner who took an old corduroy jacket, snipped it up, and told you it was velvet, for crying out loud.
Sometimes that gets to be worth $1 million, but you never know.
Right? So, again, you talk about that. Now, are there things that you would tell your grandkids to avoid?
Yeah, the get-rich-quick games, that people say, and, the investments in the prince from Nigeria, there's so many things.
Somebody's not going to use your bank account because they just need to move money into the U.S. and they're going to keep 10%.
If it sounds too good to be true, be cautious. It's just not true. And if you're going to go off the reservation and not go through a traditional investment agency and you want to, do something collectibles, become an expert at it before you make the first dollar.
I think you're close to the average of this number that I'm going to ask. Russ, how many homes have you owned in your lifetime?
Probably six or seven, I think.
Okay, so let's call it seven.
Okay.
Over a 50-year working career,
that's
every 6.5 years, right?
About.
So, go ahead.
But I live a long time. I mean, I lived in the one house in Yuma I own two in Yuma. And I've lived here for 20-some years, and it's only been two homes in Yuma. Before that, it was corporate, moving around, bouncing around. So.
Which is what most people do when they're younger to middle. Now, if you just said, okay, here's the secret sauce in my book, and I know you've got your secret sauce, other people have theirs, here's my secret sauce. Buy your first home as early as you can.
Right.
Live in it 3 to 5 years as you're building your income and your career stability. So 3 to 5 years later, you buy a slightly bigger home, right? Most people see the lottery ticket, they see value in their home, and they sell the home and use the equity to go buy a boat, a car, a razor, or whatever.
Or a cruise ship, whatever.
No, how about we do this? How about you keep the first home because you bought it FHA 3.5% down for most people, unless you're a veteran, then you're buying it no money down, and that's a whole different path, which is even faster. Buy the first home 3.5% down. Second home, you're going to go 5% down conventionally. So can you save up 5% over 3 to 5 years?
Oh, you can.
Pretty easily.
Yeah.
So you move into the second home, you rent out the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to live in the second home 5 years. Let's use your number, 5 to 6 years. You're going to save up 5% more down. You're going to move up the food chain just slightly 5 years later, 5% down, owner-occupied, you rent home number two. 5 years after you're in the third home, you're going to save up enough money, you're going to buy your fourth home. So what is that? 5, 10, 15. So over 15 years, could you own 3 or 4 homes?
Yes, easy.
Okay. So let's go slower. Let's pretend over 25 years, you could have 5 homes, 4 rentals and 1 that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
That's very doable. Russ, you were right on pace with that early in your working career, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you owned 5 homes over 25 years and they never went up a penny in value, today's value is, let's call it 300. What's 5 times 3?
15.
That's $1.5 million worth of real estate. That's not a get-rich-quick scheme. That's a get-wealthy-and-build-wealth-slowly scheme. And as long as my kids and my grandkids, whenever they come around, I don't want them anytime soon. But, boys, listen to that. No grandkids anytime soon.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah. But, as long as you understand that, this path is what you were just talking about. It's get in, play with it, learn it, understand it, and understand it's just a business. No different than if you owned a McDonald's, somebody's going to graffiti the mirror or the table's going to break and you got to replace it.
And it is a business. So you got to treat it like a business and understand things break. There'll be problems occasionally. And they're not a big deal if you plan for it. It's just plan for it.
It's
all part of the game.
And if your income that you're earning, that you're living on, is what you live on, the real estate income becomes a side hustle that puts money back into a savings account that mm-hmm. supports itself. And as these things pay themselves off over time, let's pretend, Russ, had you started that 3 years into your working career and the average loan is a 30-year loan, would six of those seven, based on the timeline I'm figuring, six of those seven would be paid off?
At least four of them, yeah.
Cool. So if four of them are paid off, that's $1 million plus mm-hmm. worth of equity that now you can go do other things. And now you talk about stage two or stage three. You could be using that equity to go leverage into buying a business or leveraging that into other assets. I don't know what those are. I'm not going to pontificate on that. But you have the ability to go do more things if you just said, you know what, I'm going to keep four or five homes over my lifetime. Now, let's say somebody is 45 years old, Russ. Could they start that today?
Of course.
Sure. How many more years is the average 45-year-old person going to work?
At least 20.
Which only takes them to 65. Yeah. When does Social Security kick in?
Well,
it's not at 65.
67, I think, around there.
Okay. Yeah. So it may hit 72.
Yeah.
You may be working until you're 72 or 75. So even
heaven
if,
forbid.
Heaven forbid. I agree. But so somebody who goes, well, Derek, you know, I'm 50. I can't do it right now. Oh, I mean, you can't do it right now. You can start right now. Are you living in a house? Well, sure, I am. Cool. You can start that. And that secret sauce is literally, hey, you said what I wish more people would say. There is no get-rich-quick scheme. There is no Sultan of Sumeria that's going to ask you to put money in your bank because he needs to move it into the country. No, but there's a build wealth slowly process that if you just go, wow, that's how that guy did it, or that's how those guys did it. I mean, look at how much wealth there is in real estate if you just sit and turn it into a business. And I'm not saying, you know, you still have to, like you said, you're going to change things. There's going to be an AC unit that goes out once in a while. There's going to be a hot water heater that needs to get changed.
You plan for it. It's not a big deal.
But I own a car. I got to do oil changes. I got to put new tires on it. I have to.
But not everybody does that. So you got to get that business hat on and make sure you start. If you're going to do that, do the prep work. Figure out what it takes.
So to your grandkids, what are you going to force them to do over their lifetime?
Come work at the shop.
Probably. They're the sweeper and the oil changer, the quick lane person.
But they need to learn business and business skills and finance skills.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be just mortgage or just auto. You said it could be artwork. I mean, I see people who are making money on Pokemon cards, for crying out loud. But they know the right ones to buy and they know the right ones to sell. And literally they're trading and making money on Pokemon cards. And I don't care what it is. There's a market for it. If your daughter, when she was watching TV as a kid, did she ever watch the Smurfs?
I think so.
Okay. There are people who are trading things with the Smurfs online with eBay and other things, and they're making money buying and selling those toys.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm not going to do it. I know you're not going to do it. But actually, for anybody, if you put a hat on, you'd look just like Papa Smurf.
Well, you know, Yumikon's.
Somebody bring him some blue face paint.
You know, Yumikon's here tomorrow, I think. So you can go to Yumikon dressed as a Smurf. I think you'd be accepted.
You've got the height requirement for it.
Short.
There was a dog on that show, too. Your dog looks just like, I think it was Gargamel's, the evil guy that had a dog. So. No, that's a cat. Sorry. Well, your dog looks kind of like a cat. Anyway, so all of these things, here's the fun thing. If you have questions, sometimes it's just a cup of coffee and having a 30-minute conversation. Call me. Call anybody in the office. We'll sit down with you, have a good conversation. And there are no stupid questions. I promise you, I've made all of this. You know, I've probably gone through all of the stupid questions myself personally, and that's where most of this experience comes from.
I need to try you on that. I need to see if I can't come up with a question you would label as stupid. But
give it to me.
No, I don't know.
You got 37 seconds. It's the stupid questions are, and it's not stupid. It might be, I want to say ignorant too, but it might just be uneducated because of how marketing and advertising driven this industry is. Had a gentleman come in, nice guy, but he's in trouble, like big time financial trouble.
Oh.
And so what he was told is he can buy a home no money down with all these down payment assistance programs, right?
Right.
Great. There's a lot of those out there. Why does he want to buy a home right now? Because he's behind on everything else, everything, cars, credit cards, everything is in the toilet. His credit score starts with a 4, which is really hard to do. But his plan was he wants to buy a home, no money down, so he has a month to a month and a half to skip paying rent, and he can use his money to get other things caught up, and then he'll figure out how to make the house payment afterwards.
Okay.
Now, I see the light switch just turned off in your...
Well, how could he even come up with that scheme? It's not going to be acceptable. Yeah. But obviously, he's floated money around, borrowed and paid off with other borrowing, and he's probably played those games. It won't work with a mortgage
because
you can't have a background doing that.
So it's not a dumb question. It's not a stupid question. But it's like, okay, you know, I understand where you think the juggling could come financially. But if you can't make the car payment and the credit card payments, the likelihood is we as a lender can't give you a loan for $300,000 if you can't make the $5,000 car payment.
And I'm sure once you start getting into that credit rating, you're going to find out he's late on payments, and that's just going to blow him out of the water.
We did. We ran credit, and he's literally late on everything
But the good news is all of it is fixable.
100%.
And I don't know what the time frame is. But it's all fixable, but you've got to fix it before you bite off more.
The problem is and I'm just as guilty as everybody else, we do what we want to do when we want to do it. And so he came in, and he's got a huge 64-ounce drink.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it could have been on sale for 99 cents. I don't know. But you have money to go to the convenience store to buy those things. That's where the problem starts, is let's make sure we're budgeting first. So
sounds like he has no money. He just keeps spending it like he does.
Yeah. So, you know, again, here's the fun thing. It's Halloween. Everybody, there's going to be kids on the road. There's going to be lots of partying. It's a Friday. So not only adult parties, kid parties, please, everybody drive slower this evening. Watch out for the kids, because when the lights go out, that's when the kids come out. Please, let's watch out for kids dressed in black and their outfits and they're hiding in the bushes and everything. But from all of us at Mortgage One, from all of us at KBLU Yuma, you know, to those military men and women who are still serving on our behalf, not getting paid. Now, we know there's some people who are privately funding part of it, but those men and women are not getting their housing allowance. Yeah. So those families that are living off post are not getting their BAH. They're not getting their housing allowance. So from all of us, thank you for serving and dealing with some of the stupidity that is happening right now. And if there's things that we can do, please call or come in. But from all of us, thank you for protecting this great nation at the greatest time in history. We do live in the greatest country on earth. Have a safe and happy Halloween, guys. See you next week. This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.